For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. This is part 9 of the series.
In this teaching, we've been looking at both the principles and patterns in Scripture that will give us a foundation for understanding the way in which the greater Exodus will take place. So in looking at the principles and patterns of the Scripture, we can see that there is a deeper meaning, there's a deeper understanding to the biblical text than just the literal application of the text. And so in this way, we can see from Psalm in chapter 78 that the historical Egyptian redemption has a deeper meaning than letting us know about something that historically took place. In the deeper meaning is to understand the role of the Messiah in the redemption of his people, and to have a pattern by which to understand the end of the exile from all the nations of the world, where the nation of Israel has been scattered in the end of days. So if we look at Psalm chapter 78 in verses 1 and 2, in verse 13, it is written, "Give ear, O my people, to my Torah." So the subject of the verse is the Torah, that we're to hear the Torah, and then incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And so the Torah that we're to listen to is the teaching or the instruction that comes forth. Now in verse 2 it says, "I will open my mouth in a parable." So the subject is, give ear to my Torah. And what it says about the Torah is, I will open my mouth in a parable. Therefore, if we put the subject with what's said about the subject together, we're being told that the Torah itself is a parable, which means that which we historically understand to have happened, or the literal figures by which we are getting our information, that it has a deeper meaning, and it then has a prophetic application. It is a parable, and a parable is something that has a deeper meaning than that which is readily seen at its surface. So in declaring that the Torah is a parable, it goes on to say in verse 13, "He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap." So this is speaking about when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and when they crossed the Red Sea. So in speaking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, we are told that the Torah is a parable. So this is why it's so important from this teaching to learn from the Torah the principles contained within it and the patterns in which we see. So let's summarize so far what we have learned in studying these principles and these patterns. First of all, number one, that the events which happen in the lives of the patriarchs are prophetic of what will happen to their descendants. Number two, biblical history is prophecy. And as an example of these principles, number three, Abraham went to Egypt, and Pharaoh took his wife Sarah and later sent her away. This foreshadowed that the children of Israel would go to Egypt, where there they would be in bondage to Pharaoh, and the God of Israel would deliver them through signs, wonders, and miracles and judgments that he would bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Number four, Yeshua remembered his covenant with Abraham, given that it was Yeshua who made covenant with Abraham, and it was the messenger of the Lord who appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2 at the burning bush. And this messenger of the Lord is the same one that made covenant with Abraham. And the one that made covenant with Abraham that appeared to Moses at the burning bush is the one that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's Yeshua the Messiah. And this teaches us that Yeshua will remember his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and fulfill the promises that we see both in the Torah and the prophets, and end the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel when Yeshua is going to set up his kingdom in messianic times. Number five, Pharaoh sent Sarah away at what would later be celebrated as Passover season. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed at Passover. Egypt was judged, and the children of Israel were redeemed from Egypt at Passover. And this all was a foreshadowing that the end of the exile, that is the beginning of the greater Exodus, is going to begin at a future Passover. Number six, Isaac was born at Passover. This is a prophetic foreshadowing that biblical Zion will be born at Passover, as Isaac is a prophetic or spiritual picture of the miraculous birth of biblical Zion in the end of days. Number seven, Jacob's conflict with Esau is prophetic of the conflict between the descendants of Jacob and Esau that goes from each generation and then through the generation that will see the Messiah coming and ending the exile, and even through what we call the tribulation period. That the tribulation is actually a battle between Jacob and Esau, where all nations are a part of their battle. Number eight, Joseph was sold by his brothers. This is prophetic that the nation of Israel would be sold into the nations. This came about for the nation of Israel because they broke the covenant at Mount Sinai. Number nine, visit is a code word for the redeeming of the nation of Israel. Joseph told his brothers that the God of Israel will visit you. Moses told the children of Israel that the God of Israel is visiting them and delivering them from Egypt in the bondage that they were under to Pharaoh. And at the first coming of Yeshua, he visited his people. The visitation then was at Passover, as Yeshua died on the tree at Passover. The God of Israel visited Sarah when Isaac was born. This is a prophetic picture that he's going to visit biblical Zion, as the birth of Isaac is prophetic of the birth of biblical Zion in the end of days. And the birth of biblical Zion inaugurates and triggers the end of the exile and the greater Exodus. Number 10. Pharaoh is a prophetic foreshadowing. He's a type of both the false Messiah and Lucifer, the devil, or Hasatan, the adversary. Number 11. Pharaoh did not know the God of Israel, and redemption is associated with the principle of knowing the God of Israel. Now, the word know in Hebrew is yada. It means to know experientially, to know intimately. Number 12, in Egypt, the God of Israel made a distinction between his people and Egypt, and this is a prophetic foreshadowing that in redeeming his people, the God of Israel makes a distinction between his people and those that oppose his people, which the Bible refers to as the beast system. Number 13, The children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt with signs and wonders. And this is a prophetic foreshadowing that the greater Exodus will be associated with signs and wonders. Number 14. The children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt when the God of Israel judged Egypt. And the God of Israel will judge the nations of the world, and specifically the daughter of Babylon, when he ends the exile of his people. Number 15. Exile is likened to a wound. And the end of the exile, that is the redemption, the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, the greater Exodus is associated with the healing of the wound. Number 16. The children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt to go to the promised land. Their specific destination was Jerusalem. In ending the exile in all the nations of the world, the God of Israel will once again bring his people to Jerusalem or Zion. Number 17. The historical Egyptian redemption is linked with the end of the exile of all 12 tribes. Number 18. The historical Egyptian redemption is a parable to understand how the God of Israel is going to end the exile of all 12 tribes in the end of days in messianic times by the Messiah. Number 19. It is a commandment to remember the historical Egyptian redemption so that we can understand the way in which the God of Israel will redeem his people from the nations of the world in the end of days. And so Paul communicated this principle in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 11, where he says that the things that happened to the children of Israel when they were redeemed out of Egypt are examples, or they're types. They are shadows, and they foretell what will happen in the way in which the God of Israel redeems his people from all the nations of the world where they've been scattered in the end of days. And then finally, number 20, Yeshua delivered his people out of Egypt. Yeshua died on the tree at his first coming to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. As Yeshua himself stated to the Pharisees in John chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, and is repeated in John chapter 11, verses 49 through 52. And Yeshua will gather his people from the nations of the world and end the exile of the house of Jacob. Next, we are going to see how the greater Exodus is going to come about. What are the events that are associated with the triggering of the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel by the Messiah in the end of days? Well, the way the scripture explains it will happen is the following, that the nations of the world will recognize a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. And in doing so, the nations will advocate the dividing of the land of Israel and the dividing of the city of Jerusalem. And this will bring about the judgment of the nations. And in the judgment of the nations for dividing the land of Israel in the city of Jerusalem, the scriptures focus on a specific judgment that comes upon an entity called in the scriptures the daughter of Babylon. That is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 21, Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah 50, 51, Revelation in chapter 18. That this daughter of Babylon has the similar spiritual characteristics of the historical Babylon of old that was under King Nebuchadnezzar, but yet it is an end time nation, which I believe is the United States of America. So a central focus in the judgment of the nations for dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, which will trigger the greater Exodus and the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel by the Messiah and returning them to the land, is the fall and the destruction of the United States of America. And So this is how the redemption will be triggered and will be inaugurated. Ultimately, in the nations dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, that as a response to the nations imposing the recognition of a Palestinian state and the dividing of Jerusalem, the reaction in the land of Israel by those who believe the covenant promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who endeavor to believe and follow the Torah, we will see in the physical, in the natural, the birth of the biblical state of Zion. And so we are told about the birth of the biblical state of Zion during the tribulation period, as the nations of the world are dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, in Isaiah in chapter 66 and verse 8, where there we read the following: Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? So this is talking about a nation being born in one day. In context, what nation is this referring to? For as soon as Zion travailed, the name of the nation that is being born is Zion, and it's being born in one day during a time of travail. And Yeshua the Messiah told us that the tribulation period and the events associated with his coming are likened unto travail or birth pangs. Because when Yeshua was asked by his disciples in Matthew 24:3, tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Yeshua said in Matthew 24:8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows or birth pangs or travail. And so as soon as Zion travailed, her travail is during the tribulation period, she brought forth her children. So who are the children of Zion? Those who believe in Zion. And the fulfillment of Zion is the fulfillment of seeing the promises that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob being fully manifested in the earth. And so in this declaration of biblical Zion, the scriptures indicate that it will be done in Zechariah in chapter 12 by the governors of Judah. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 5 and 6, it speaks about the governors of Judah rising up when all nations are coming against Jerusalem. And so they will rise up and they will declare in the physical the biblical state of Zion. So where the nations are endeavoring to create and recognize a Palestinian state in the West Bank, biblically Judea and Samaria, based upon 1967 borders in the dividing of Jerusalem, making East Jerusalem its capital, ultimately when this is imposed and recognized by the international community legally, that the governors of Judah will rise up in the land and they will reject that which is coming forth from the nations. And rather than accepting a Palestinian state, they will declare the West Bank, or biblically Judea and Samaria, as its own independent entity, which they will name, according to the Bible, Zion, and they will declare that Jerusalem is the capital of biblical Zion, of Judea and Samaria. And so this is the foundation of Zion being laid. And there is a reference to this in Psalm in chapter 118 and verse 22, which says, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. Now, that verse is quoted of Yeshua three times in the New Testament, that Yeshua is the stone that the builders, that is the leadership of the nation of Israel, has rejected, and he's become the head of the corner. But it also has another application, that the stone that the builders, that is the leadership in the in the present nation of Israel are rejecting is the heartland of Israel, and that is Judea, Samaria, and the rejection ultimately of Jerusalem as being the eternal undivided capital of the kingdom of Judah, the Jewish people. And so the West Bank and Jerusalem has become a stone of trembling to the leadership of Israel, is because that is what the nations are bringing pressure upon the current nation of Israel, indicating that this is the reason why we don't have peace in the land. It's because that land needs to be designated for a Palestinian state, and there needs to be the dividing of Jerusalem. And so ultimately permitting the nations to do this, or the nations themselves actually recognizing and imposing this solution. The prophecy here says that the stone, and if we go to Isaiah in chapter 28, Isaiah in chapter 28, and then we read in verse 16, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. So this stone is in Zion. And so Yeshua rules from his throne in Jerusalem, in the heavenly Jerusalem, which is called Zion. And so Yeshua is that stone, but also the land that he promised through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has become a source of conflict, a source of controversy. So the rejection of the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is to be the head of the corner. It is the means by which biblical Zion is established. And so ultimately, in the fullness of biblical Zion, what will it look like? It is the unity or the oneness of the following entities. Biblical Zion is the unity of the people of the God of Israel. That would be the house of Jacob. That would be Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom. That would be Ephraim and Judah, or the house of Joseph and the house of Judah. That's his people who have the land that was promised to them. That was the land that was promised to Abraham in the book of Genesis, that we can see that Abraham was promised land in Genesis 15, Genesis chapter 17. And they're following the Torah of the one that gave them the Torah. And that is Yeshua the Messiah, because he not only made covenant with Abraham, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he's also the one that appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He's the messenger of the Lord. The Hebrew word is Malak, that some of our translations translate Malak as angel. He's the messenger of the Lord, and he's the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. So biblical Zion is the unification of the Messiah, the giver of the Torah, over all 12 tribes of Israel, and they're living in the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so his people is the house of Jacob. Another name for his people is Zion. And his people, or Zion, is the people that he's going to marry, which is Messiah's bride. We're told in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, that Yeshua will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so the name of Yeshua's biblical family is the house of Jacob.
Well, that's going to conclude part 9 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua, the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's hebroots.org. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.